Well, I don't know if you knew that there was a night that Jesus prayed for Hillwood Baptist Church or not, but there is, and there was, as he prayed for every church that was to come into existence. It's found in John 17, beginning at verse number 20. John 17, verse number 20, and we begin this morning our march to the cross and then our march to the resurrection and the days to come. So I'd ask you to stand together with me, please, as we read from John 17, beginning at verse number 20. Scripture says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them." Let's pray together. Father, I just want to thank you for the opportunity that we have to share your word today. I pray your blessings on it, that it might go forth and be received in a way that would be pleasing to you and that might be life-changing for us. So, Father, thank you in advance for what you're going to show us, what you're going to teach us, and we give you thanks for all that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. The 17th chapter of the Gospel of John is a chapter that is filled with the prayers of Jesus on his last night on earth before he went to the cross. In verses 1 through 5 of this chapter, he prays for himself. In verses 6 through 19, he prays for his disciples that are with him at that time. And in the verses that we have before us this morning, he prays for all believers, all of those who would become a part of the family of God and would make up the church for which Jesus had come to give his life to establish. So this is where Jesus prays for me, and Jesus prays for you, and Jesus prays for all the churches that are going to be established because of the witness that will be in the world because of him. Now, Jesus was a man who embraced a vision. He embraced God's vision. He embraced God's purpose for his own life. He came into this world to ignite the fire that would birth the church and begin a great worldwide movement to share the gospel with all men and all women of all races so that they might understand that there is someone who loves them and that that someone who loves them loved them enough to go to a cross for them and to die for them, to give his life for them. But you know, oftentimes the followers of the one who has the vision do not always grasp the true meaning and the true purpose of the vision. The Bible says that where there is no vision, what happens to the people? They perish. And for the most part, we feel like that's talking about the lost people. But I want to say to you this morning that where the vision of God is not embraced by the people of God, they too will perish. They too will suffer consequences. So it is a few hours before his arrest, that he enters into this passionate time of prayer. And it is in this portion of the prayer that Jesus asked one thing of the Father. One thing. And that was that his followers be one. That they be united. We know, and he knew, that the larger the organization becomes, the greater the risk for division. And so in light of that, Jesus didn't pray for numerical growth. He didn't pray for financial stability. He didn't pray for worldly visibility. He prayed for the unity of the church, knowing that it would only be the unified church that would ensure the victory of the church's mission in the world. That was his prayer. That was his request. But from the looks of things, down through the ages, his people have not embraced his prayer and made it theirs. Very few churches have or will survive their time on this earth without facing a unity problem. It happens. The church today, and I think this is the reason that we face disunity at times, the church today is more concerned about numbers than they are souls. And the church is more concerned about our agenda than we are God's agenda. You see, it was God, lest we forget, it was God who birthed the church and put it in motion. It's his church. We're just members of it. We're just part of the body. It was God who gave the church his plan. And it's God who must be shaking his head in heaven, wondering when or if his church on earth will ever totally understand and embrace his plan. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he taught them to pray that the Father's will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, God has no trouble accomplishing his will in heaven. It's on earth is where the problems come in. He simply doesn't have the respect of his people. And that's heartbreaking when you stop and think about it. So it was Jesus who spoke to the unity issue before his death. So I want us to see what he had to say about that this morning. Let's see what he prayed about. Let's see what he was praying about for Hillwood Baptist Church and every other church in the world that would come into existence. He was praying three things for them. First of all, he prayed for the unity of his church. Jesus could have prayed for a lot of things at this time in his life. He's facing the cross. He knows what's ahead of him. He knows what's about to happen. And so he could have prayed for a lot of things at this time in his life. Could have prayed for strength. Could have prayed that the 11 disciples that were left would support him. Instead, his prayer was not about any of those things. It was about oneness. It was about the unity of the disciples then and the unity of the disciples in years to come. Because he had prayed that the remaining group of disciples would be one. And he prays the same thing for all who would come after him and after this time. But unity is a hard thing to define, especially when it comes to the church. Many churches say that what makes them strong is their diversity. That they are made up of different groups of people who have different ways of thinking and all of that. Every church, ladies and gentlemen, is diverse because it's made up of people like me and you. It's going to be diverse. We're not all alike. We have different ways of looking at things. But that's not where unity is truly measured. The unity that Jesus prayed for was not to be occasional or sporadic. His prayer that was that we would be continually united as one in purpose. The prayer of unity is not just for the 11 disciples, but for all who would be touched by their message and all that would come to faith in Christ because of their witness and because of the witnesses of those that would come after them. So the prayer of unity, I think, was a prayer, and listen to this, was a prayer for the credibility and the believability of those who were and would become his followers. Credibility and believability are the keys to the success of God's work in this world. If his followers are not credible, if his followers are not believable, then the world sees nothing different in his followers than they see in the rest of the population of the world at that time. So Jesus' prayer is that all of them, all of us, may be one, just like he and the Father are one, the one united with the other. His prayer is that all believers may be found in harmony with God and in harmony with his Son. And the reason for this urgency is what he says in the latter part of verse 21, where he says, "May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me." Now, if the church is not believable, and if the church is not credible, then people are not going to believe anything that we might say to them about Jesus. And so he says, you need to be one. My prayer is that those who would follow after me, those who are saved now, those who are going to be saved later, that my number one desire for their lives is unity, so that when they speak and when they act and when they minister, that they're credible, that they are believable. And when they do that, then people will know that you sent me into this world. So he prays for the unity of the church. The way you and I represent Jesus in the church and outside the church will cause some to turn to him, while at the same time causing others to turn away from him because of our actions and our attitudes. It's no wonder that Jesus prays for the unity of the church on the night before he was to face the cross. So he prays for the unity of his church. Not only did he pray for the unity of his church, but he also prayed for the impact of his unified, united church. The impact of a unified church is that the world believes that God the Father sent Jesus the Son. Now, this is of utmost importance if the church is to have a positive impact on the world. Because you see, you and I are walking billboards when it comes to a life that has been changed by the power of the one sent down from heaven to earth. We're billboards. We're out for public, on public display, for people to notice us and to see how we talk and how we respond and what our attitudes are when it comes to certain things. Jesus said in John 13, verses 34 and 35, he says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Jesus doesn't call this a new suggestion. He calls it a new command. Plainly calls it a new command. And that command, not suggestion, but command, is to love one another. You can't love people in a godly way if you're out of fellowship with them. And I've also learned that you can't criticize people that you're praying for. You can criticize people you're not praying for all day long. But I don't think you can truly criticize somebody that you're praying for. Most churches impact their communities all right, but not necessarily in the way God intended. The kind of unity God requires is supernatural in nature. We live in a very fragmented world. We live in the midst of very disconnected people. And Jesus' prayer is for the unity of his followers so that those who are fragmented, those who are disconnected, might see something in us that they don't see anywhere else, and they might be drawn to it. Let me tell you what a unified church does. A unified church gives the world a chance. It gives the world a chance. A disunified church reverses all the work of Christ and renders our witness to him to a place where it becomes ineffective. The text tells us that Christ is in us just like he is in his Father, and his desire is that we are unified when it comes to each other as he and his Father are. He calls for complete unity, not partial unity. Once again, the purpose of this unity is to allow the world to know that Jesus was sent by God and that God loves them the same way and with the same type of love that he has for his Son. Verse 22 says, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So the purpose of this unity is to allow people to believe, as they should, that God sent Jesus into this world. And the purpose of the unity in the body of believers is so that we'll be credible witnesses. We'll be believable witnesses to this world who need to know and understand who Jesus really is. Then we come to verse 24. Father, I want those that you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. So he prays for the glory of his unified church. Jesus says to the Father that he wants those whom the Father has given to him to be with him where he is. He wants them to see his glory. He wants them to see the glory that's been given to him by God. If you'll turn back a few chapters to chapter 14, verse 1. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms." Your translation may say many mansions. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." So Jesus wants us to behold. He wants us to gaze at. He wants us to share in His perfect glory in the presence of His Holy Father. You and I, as His followers, are in the process of being changed, even now, little by little. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We're being changed little by little, day by day, moment by moment into His likeness. And this change is going to continue until the day He comes for us. 1 John 3, verse 2. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He, Jesus, appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So when Jesus prayed that night, He prayed for unity. That's the main thing He prayed for. He prayed for the unity of His church that was about to be birthed. He prayed for the impact of a unified church could have in the world. And He prayed for the glory of His unified church when it was all said and done here, and we would be able to go to heaven to be with Him. So He prays for unity. He prays for impact. He prays for eternal togetherness. For the church today, I think it's very important to keep in mind one of the last recorded prayers that we have from Jesus concerning my life and yours. And it's all about unity. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the main things that's missing in most churches today, most denominations today, is unity. We're divided. We're divided doctrinally. We're divided on so many issues. And so it's no wonder that Jesus asked the Father to provide unity in the body. But you know who the only person really that can produce unity in the church? It's you and I as individuals. Now, Brother Dan and I were talking about this morning. We're not talking about uniformity where everybody believes same, looks same, acts same, dresses same. We're not talking about that. We're talking about being united for the cause of Christ. God created us different for a reason. So it's not uniformity that we're looking for. It's unity of the body so that we can take the gifts that God has given us, how He's gifted us, and then go out into the world in a united way as the body of Christ and proclaim His word so that people might believe that God sent Him into the world so that they might be saved. Pray with me. Father, we love You this morning, and we come to You thanking You for praying for us so many, many years ago. As You prayed for Your church, You prayed for unity in the body. And Lord, that's what we pray for today, for all of our brothers and sisters in churches all around the world, because that's such a need in our world today, in our society today, that we be unified in purpose. We'd be unified in our relationship with You and with others. And Father, you have made us all different. So you're not asking us to all be the same. You're asking us to be who You create us to be in a united effort to join with other brothers and sisters in Christ to proclaim the good news and be credible and be believable in the process. So I pray this morning, Father, for those that are here today. Maybe somebody needs Christ as their Savior. Maybe somebody this week prayed to receive Christ as their Savior and they need to make that decision public. Or maybe others today have been looking for a church home and this is where You're leading them. But I pray that each and every one of us might spend just a moment in our own personal time with You and just say, Father, help me to be a uniter of the body. Help me to be united in my efforts to share your word, to witness for you, to pray, to minister, to serve. And may we together as a church, may we pray for the unity of the body so that we can go forward together in the strong and powerful name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. So, Father, bless this time of invitation now. It is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.